When you go to just about any restaurant today, it's fairly common to be served a large portion that is too much for a single sitting. So, I just take the leftovers home and have a nice lunch the next day. But when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, they don't let you take leftovers home. And I don't know about you, but I feel compelled to get my money's worth. And I tend to go overboard and overeat. Now, that might not be such a problem if it's a rare occasion, but I couldn't imagine eating like that every day. Well, today, we live in an all-you-can-eat media buffet culture, and we are piling more and more on our plates every day. Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including information about our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. Thank you for joining us today. I'm here with my podcast co-pilot once again, Rhett Simpkins. So Rhett, what's your favorite food buffet, and do you tend to go overboard, or is it just me?
Oh, I really enjoy going to Golden Corral, and yes, I always overdo it.
Okay, I didn't think it was just me. But, part of the problem is that there's just so much tempting food in front of us, especially at those buffets. I love buffets. I love Chinese buffets. I love those, American food kind of buffets. Buffets are great. You have all these options and tons of food and desserts and as the saying goes, we have eyes that tend to be bigger than our stomachs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're making me hungry. Enough about food. Our topic is really about media. I know that you believe there's a media consumption problem.
Yes, I do. And let me share some stats about that. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation's research, the average teen consumes 53 hours of media each week. So that's like a full-time job, just consuming media. That's 7.5 hours per day. And that number climbed to nearly 11 hours when they factored in what's known as media multitasking. Another thing, did you know that there are 4 billion videos watched on YouTube every day? That equals 3 billion hours of video watched on YouTube each month. And I think what's more shocking is that there are 60 hours of new video being uploaded every minute. In fact, there's more video uploaded to YouTube in a single month than the 3 major U.S. networks created in 60 years. Now, according to Nielsen, which tracks TV and other media usage, they say today's consumers are watching more TV than ever. And in a recent U.S. consumer usage report, they said this: each month, consumers are spending more time with more media across all devices under the sun. And these are the people that are pretty excited about that. They're giving us these statistics. They also, according to their research, have found that the average person watches 4.7 hours of TV each day. You add another 2 hours per day to cover the time that people spend viewing video on mobile, game consoles, time-shifted television, DVDs or Blu-ray, and other internet activity. But really, the iconic TV still rules the roost overall. According to Nielsen, they say the average American watches nearly 5 hours of video each day. 98% of what they will watch is on a traditional TV set. So now, speaking of television, there are more TVs in the U.S. per household than there are children. In fact, it's worse than that. There are now more TVs per household than there are people. Now, according to the 2010 census, there are 2.59 total people per household in the U.S., and there are now at least 2.97 TVs per household. That statistic is from 2011, and I'm sure the gap has likely only increased since then. So where do you put all those televisions? Well, unfortunately, many are going into children's bedrooms. 43% of 3 to 4-year-olds have a TV in their bedrooms. 1 out of 5 toddlers under the age of 3 have a TV in their bedrooms. Now, Rhett, I am tempted to go off on a rabbit trail here on this one. and I'm going to show some restraint right now and save it for a dedicated podcast because it's worthy of one. And, you know, because this is messing with the developing brains of children, and there are some serious ramifications, but there I go. A couple steps down that rabbit trail. I better stop there and move on. Suffice it to say, we live in a media-saturated society, and we are piling more and more on our plates.
Share that quote by George Barna that you have in the documentary.
Yes, the well-known George Barna, founder of the Barna Group, a market research firm, wrote that media exposure has become America's most widespread and serious addiction.
I think it would be hard for anyone to argue against the fact that we are a media-saturated society, but how does this subject intersect with being a follower of Jesus?
Well, you know, going back to the food analogy, there's a saying, you are what you eat. And we've already dedicated a couple podcasts to deal with the subjects of media having an effect on us and also becoming desensitized. You know, Christians are called to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm just going to read that verse for you. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So, if we're going to wage this spiritual war, you know, since how does this intersect? That was your question. How does this intersect with the spiritual life and with following Jesus? If we're going to wage this spiritual war, then there are two main factors. I mean, there's others, but two main factors regarding what we're calling today the all-you-can-eat media buffet. The first is what I've already mentioned, how much we are piling on our plates. And the second factor is what are we piling on our plates? And, you know, the more media we consume, the harder it is going to be to take those thoughts captive. And the more prone we will be, I believe, to be taken captive by the things that we're consuming. So even if there were an unlimited amount of good and edifying media, which there is not, I'm glad that there is some out there. There's some great, great media. I'm a big proponent of Christian media production, especially if it's God-honoring and builds our faith. But let's just say there was an unlimited amount of this great media out there. That still wouldn't mean it would be wise to sit in front of a TV for 4.7 hours every day or consume good media for 7.5 hours each day. So there is a great need for moderation in the church today regarding media consumption.
You mentioned moderation, and most of us are familiar with the saying, all things in moderation. Do you think that applies?
Well, you know, that is a great question, and that phrase is thought by some to come from the Bible, but it doesn't. It's kind of like some of these other phrases that people think come from the Bible, like cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not there. Or God helps those who help themselves. That's a very popular one. Now, in this case, this saying goes back to Aristotle, and it's often been misapplied. So let me just read an excerpt from BlueLetterBible.com, by the way, which is a great online resource if you haven't discovered that yet. Once again, BlueLetterBible.com, fantastic online resource. It says on this subject, the phrase moderation in all things is common extrapolation of Aristotle's doctrine of the mean. His ethic works around finding the mean or middle ground between excess and deficiency. An example of this would be his presentation of courage being the happy medium between the extreme of rash action and the deficiency of cowardice in respect to a person's possible action in the face of danger. Now, this article goes on to say, it should be noted that Aristotle's ethic is often misunderstood by its summary, moderation in all things. It is frequently reasoned by those unfamiliar with the context that the common phrase means that a person should approach all things, whether healthy or unhealthy, with moderation. Therefore, reasoning that a moderate amount of a bad thing can be indulged is not uncommon to find. This is an inaccurate representation of the perspective summarized in the popular phrase. Okay, that was a mouthful, but I think you get the point. And so getting back to your question, Rhett, I do think there's a need for moderation, but not in the misapplied application of that phrase. You know, for example, you wouldn't say that a moderate amount of pornography was acceptable. And that could be one of just many examples that I could give. So to clarify this, let's look at a scripture which can shed some light on this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Now, sometimes the word translated is translated temperate, and in other translations, they use the phrase or the word is self-control.
That's probably a good contrast. Too much consumption and not enough exercise. Do you think Christians have become spiritually flabby?
Well, you know, I don't think I could have said it better. And I believe Christians today are spiritually flabby in many ways. And though there are many factors contributing to that, media consumption, in my opinion, is one of the big factors. Too much time being spent in front of televisions, computers, and smartphones. Not enough time in God's Word, in prayer, or in outreach, or in edifying fellowship, in family worship. I mean, the list could go on. So I believe media consumption is affecting relationships within the home. It affects work productivity. You know, it affects our spiritual lives as well.
So there's clearly a problem here. So where do we go from here?
Well, you know, I just can't get away from the food analogy in this podcast. And so I'm going to use another one here. You know, the U.S. government rolled out a new healthy diet campaign last year to replace the antiquated food pyramid. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that diagram with the breads and meats and fruits and so on.
Yep, that's right. It's been changed. It's now called Choose My Plate. And it's much more hip and stylish. It's a stylish graphic of a plate made into a graph, you know, with a glass of milk and a fork or a spoon or something like that. So, well, you know, we need a media focus along those same lines and start with this question, what's on my plate? You know, we need to be more disciplined with our media diet. And that's going to take discernment and self-control. And going back to that race analogy from the Apostle Paul, we need to run this Christian race with the discipline of a professional athlete who realizes that everything they do affects their running abilities, their diet, their sleep, how much they practice, you know, their training and such. So, you know, it's so easy to just passively stare at a screen and be entertained. In contrast to the difficult task of running the Christian race, which takes spiritual disciplines, which it costs, you know, it's not easy. And the Bible never tells us, you know, we're not told that it's going to be an easy road. In fact, Jesus said the path that he was calling us on was a narrow path as opposed to the wide path where many people are going on that road, but the road to the gate is narrow and the way is narrow, which leads to life. And so it is difficult. And I realize that. I know it's much easier to sit down and watch an entertaining movie than it is to sit down and read the book of Ezekiel. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm reading through the Bible right now, and I'm finishing up Jeremiah, and pretty soon I'll be coming to Ezekiel. And I just, every year as I read through the Bible, you know, I kind of dread getting to Ezekiel. But it's good, you know, even a book like that, which can be sometimes confusing or difficult to read, it still builds spiritual muscle, you know, in those disciplines. It's not easy to take some time out of your day and get on your knees before God and pray. That takes some discipline. But you know what? I got four children, you know, I run a ministry. I'm interacting with the people throughout the week. And, you know, I need to be spiritually strong. You know, I need to be running this race well. And surely it would be easy for me to sit down and entertain myself by playing a video game for a half hour, which I don't. But, but that, you know, I want to contrast that with, you know, taking that time to discipline myself for prayer. Or, you know, I really think Christians need to be in a good Bible-believing fellowship every week. You know, I know there are some people out there that kind of get wishy-washy on this, and it's just my opinion. I think it's backed up by some good scriptural reasoning, but I think we need to be in church. You know, I think mm-hmm. we need to be around other Christians, and we should be, the Bible says that we should be provoking one another to love and good works. It would be much easier to just sit at home and watch a NASCAR race or watch your favorite NFL team. But once again, that it's so easy to passively stare at a screen. It's very difficult to run a race to win.
So you're talking about, you know, running the Christian race with discipline. Can you give one or two practical steps that may help?
Sure. You know, boy, there's so many things I could share on this. So let me think for a moment. Let's just start with parenting. You know, so if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you have children, you know, it could be various ages. Mine spread from 15 down to 6 years old. You know, I think one good practical way to start is by training them through not allowing unfettered access to media. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You're the parent. And certainly, if you have a TV in the bedroom or in your children's bedroom, by all means, get it out. You know, so, you know, set a new trajectory in your home regarding disciplined media consumption. You know, I know that many of our friends and families I've known over the years, Christians that are careful with their media consumption, they'll dedicate an hour or two one night a week to sit down as a family and watch a family-friendly movie. You know, this tends to be maybe Friday night, you know, pizza and movie. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's, once again, that's discipline. That says, hey, we're going to reserve some time, we're going to carve it out, and we're going to do it as a family. Now, in our home in particular, we're a little more odd, you know, compared to most families. We don't even have a TV in our home, but that doesn't mean we can't watch a DVD. You know, we can. We have a laptop and we can watch a DVD, or we can even stream content over the web on occasion. But one of the things we've opted not to do is we don't have that movie night. We don't have a set time that we have in our home. And part of that is because I've just learned that media use begets media use. And as soon as we start doing something on a regular basis like that, it begins to program the family. and the family gets programmed and they begin to expect it, and it begins to rule us instead of us taking control of it. You know, and I like to be in control of my schedule. So just in our personal walk, you know, what we do is we are just very careful, and I don't have any set time. You know, we're a very active family. You know, our kids are involved with various crafts and projects to keep them busy. And, you know, we do sit down on occasion and watch something. But when we do that as a family. We do it together. Mm-hmm. We don't do it as a default. It's when either my wife or I decide, I think this is an appropriate time to sit down as a family. Another thing I don't allow in my home is electronic devices that allow them to consume media in isolation. And now that's a whole other subject mm-hmm. as well. And we probably should do a dedicated podcast on that because it's an important one. And I'm giving you tons of stuff here. I know you just asked for a couple. So let me wrap this up here. You know, another thing to think about, you know, for especially parents, you know, it's hard to set limitations in the home if you as a parent are not modeling it yourself. You know, you don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, that's going to be the worst thing you could do, is to not model it, but to expect it from your kids. So this may be the hardest hill to climb for some families. And that hill might be disciplining yourself and first changing your own consumption habits. You know, for example, the classic, you know, for many years when I was growing up, the classic kind of picture of a dad coming home from work was coming in and plopping on his easy chair in front of the television to unwind, you know, mm-hmm. After a hard day's work. Well, that still happens today, but it's expanded to other things. You know, maybe he's plopping down in front of the TV, maybe it's in front of the computer, maybe it's in front of the video game console. So, but I think that's something that should change as well. You know, there are other ways to unwind and bring your family into that. We don't connect enough as it is. So, wow, you know, I think I gave way too many examples there. I could keep going, but I know that part of the discipline with this podcast is to try to take things in smaller bites. So I think that's probably good enough for now, and we'll wrap it up with that. You've been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. I want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. You can click on the audio tab to get a free download of my audiobook called What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. And if you haven't seen our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, be sure to order your copy today. We have a brand new companion group study guide that would be great for churches, Sunday school classes, youth groups, Christian schools, homeschool, families, or individuals. And did I miss anybody there? So if you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. And join us next time as we talk about American idolatry.